You're listening to your favorite two black runners, Aaron and Joshua Potts. Every week, these two brothers talk all things running, professional athlete interviews, track and field news, discovering new opportunities in the running industry, and discussing the latest innovations in running media. But most of all, they are simply two black runners sharing their perspective. You can now watch all full-length podcasts on the Two Black Runners YouTube channel. Additionally, they're producing clips, shorts, and vlogs on that channel. If you love listening to the podcast, consider giving this podcast a review on Apple, liking their YouTube videos, or giving us a follow on Instagram. These are some of the easiest ways you can support the Two Black Runners podcast. But if you're simply listening, they thank you, and we're glad you're here.
It wasn't like back to back. Like, it was good. Like, he had some good lines. It was funny when he said Kendrick had a shoe size seven. Like, that's kind of funny. But, like, I don't know. Nothing's on the level of, like, back to back. Like, I'll play back to back just in the car. You know what I mean?
Hey, like, man, he destroyed Meek Mill, man.
Yeah.
Get up. Have you seen that? No, I'm just kidding.
No.
But it's hard to live up to back to back. But I don't know. I also feel like that verse Kendrick was just so hard.
Yeah, that verse was hard too.
And it's hard. In my opinion, I think it's kind of hard to like come after Kendrick because like now we don't know much about him. Like, yeah, you could say he's short, you know? And it's like,
well, Drake was saying something about that, like his top song is with Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
With Bad Blood, some other stuff. But I haven't dived deep into it like that. Like, to be honest,
I just feel like the stuff he talked about, no one really cares. I don't know. Even like with the J. Cole diss, I'm biased on Kendrick. I feel like with J. Cole, when I first listened to it, I knew he didn't mean that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, bro, you know? You know he likes Kendrick's albums. Like when he said like the Pimp the Butterfly he gassed it. It's like, you know, that's not true. But like, yeah, like that's cool. Like we want to hear you talk about him. But like, what can you really say?
True. I don't know. There's a lot to say about Drake. Tell you that much.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. He's easier person to shoot at.
Let's do this. I'm Joshua Potts, Mr. Possible, always with the brother with the same mother, Aaron Potts, Super Hot Potts, and you're watching and listening to your favorite two black runners every single
Tuesday. Yes, sir. It's not a Tuesday. Hey. Unless you're listening to this on a Tuesday, you can listen to this anytime you want. But just know we're coming at you every Tuesday. That's where you can find us, the Two Black Runners. But
every Two Black Tuesday. Come on.
Every Two Black Tuesday, we come at you real black, real extra crispy.
There you go. We're going to do a little bit of shorter podcast today. A lot of stuff has happened in the running news lately, just from performances to super fast performances in the field, super fast times on the track, and even off the track. There's been outrage, just straight out outrage over
the shade room. This is the shade room episode, I guess, you know?
Essentially, bro. But we're having a little bit of a shorter one, but you all today. We're gonna start off with probably one of the most controversial things of 2024 so far in the track world right here. The USA Nike uniforms. Right, Aaron, people were mad. City is mad. Released these uniforms, you feel me? We see the kit. First off, people don't like the uniform at all. Like, there's a lot of people, they hated on it straight up. I had Brittany Wilson, she commented on it. She said, why is the font Comic Sans? I had my dude Zach, who we know, he commented, no hate, but I could do a better drawing with my left hand. And he's right-handed.
Dang. That's crazy, bro.
That's wild. You feel me? Like, people were hating simply on the design.
Tara Davis said, wait, my hoo-ha gonna be out. That's the funniest comment to me right there. She win.
But that's the deeper part to it that we go into, because people are getting mad because the mannequin on the women's side, the cut for What am I even going to say that? For the underwear part, for the woman, you feel me, was a little too cut. It was a little, little too cut, you feel me, on the mannequin. And people were concerned, you feel me? People were concerned. Some of the pro athletes were concerned. Colleen Quickly, I believe she commented on there, and she was even all like, dang, I want to go to the Olympics, but I don't know about that bad. With the uniform that they were showing, it had a lot of outrage. It even ended up in a Vogue article. Like, track and field uniforms were in Vogue before this. For this, Matthew Nurse, here's a quote from that article. Matthew Nurse, vice president of Nike Sport Research Lab, told WWD that the company consulted 5,000 athletes at their Beaverton, Oregon headquarters, 70% of them women, to address the specific body types, including variations in injury risk, performance, recovery challenges, and hormonal fluctuations. So this uniform that they showed was one of those variations, we could basically just say. It was super low cut. It was a bodysuit. It looked like a bikini top, in a way, one piece. And the cut around the vaginal area wasn't very pleasant. Tara Zavis thought her hoo-ha would be showing out, you feel me? But Katie Moon did respond to all this criticism into an Instagram post. And I'll read some of this real quick because I think it was really good, to be honest. I think sums up kind of my take. And then, Aaron, we can talk about this a little bit. Katie Moon said, why can't they just make the men's... Katie Moon was saying this in response to people saying that, like, why can't they make the uniforms for men just like the women? Why are the women have these skimpy uniforms? That's what people were calling them, and being sexualized. I absolutely love people defending women, but we have at least 20 different combinations of a uniform to compete in. All the tops and bottoms are available to us. We do have the men's option available to us if we want it. When you attack the buns and crop top, saying something along the lines of it's sexist, which if that was our only choice, it would be, even if it's with the best of intentions, you're ultimately attacking our decision as women to wear it. And if you honestly think that on the most important days of our careers, we're choosing what we wear to appease the men watching over what we're most comfortable and confident in to execute to that best of our abilities, that's pretty offensive. So she kind of hit it with the mic drop, but like, it was a lot of outrage over these comments. And like, she's still getting responding to people on X or Twitter, you feel me, about her comments and everything about this.
I can't disagree with anything she said right there. You know what I'm saying? You know, and I'm not an expert on women's bodies or women's like uniforms or even just a sports apparel in general and like what that should look like on a woman. You know, it's like her choice 100% on what she wears and what she doesn't wear. But it sounds like the real problem, because you alluded to this before the podcast, that who was it? Another athlete kind of spoke out about this, like Katie said that they saw the uniforms. Who was that?
That was Katie Moon. Oh. She showed a picture of her wearing a variation of the uniform with the cut.
I mean, that's her body. That's how it fit her. But there's other options, you know, if it doesn't fit you right. That the real what I'm getting to is the real problem was whoever chose to put that uniform on the mannequin. Come on now. You knew that the bottoms, they weren't going to fit on the mannequin like they would a regular human. I don't know how they're going to fit on regular humans. I don't know how they're going to fit on the women that are competing. I don't know. And, you know, the Nike only knows so much, you know, obviously. But that's why you make different pieces, right? But why was that the one that they chose to put up? It was really a PR issue. Because the uniforms could be fine. I haven't seen it on a person yet. You've seen it on Katie. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
I feel like, because I was thinking about that too. I'm like, why would they put this uniform up there? Like, thinking logically, but I'm like, I feel like the reason they put this one on there is because that one definitely is the most, I don't know if shocking is the right word. I don't have the right word for it, but it's the most, like, it's the biggest exclamation point. It's the most daring uniform that they have. Like, the one piece is cool. Like, it really is. So, like, even the one pieces that they had beforehand, like, it was cool. Like, it's the most daring and stylish uniform I say that they have for the woman. So I think that's why they put it. But, like, someone definitely should have recognized that, like, yeah, this don't really look right on mannequin. Like, he could do something different. You know what I mean? Like, that should have been, you know.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying because, you know, most people in the comments, I mean, yeah, we'll say there was a bunch of athletes. I don't know if they got it yet, but the majority of the people that are arguing against Katie Moon right now are people that are never going to have their hands on these uniforms. They're not going to know how they actually fit. They're not going to see the different variations. But, like, if there is someone that wants to wear that, like, who am I to say, like, you know, I don't even know what I would call you for wearing that. I wouldn't call you anything. But, yeah, if it doesn't fit right. But I don't know. I just feel weird talking about this because I have no idea. I have no idea, but it was PR-wise for them. Yeah, they made a mistake, but I love seeing, you know, I mean, I didn't comment nothing. You know, I stay away from that. You know, I just be out here, I just be reading the comments. I'm like UA. I just be reading the comments, but hey. I don't be leaving the comments. I've got in trouble for that before. I put the popcorn on something that happened on Twitter. You know what it is. hey. So I stay away. I stay away.
This man got blocked.
Got blocked. I stay away from that.
But before we move on to our next thing, bro, do you like the uniforms? Because we got to see, you know, Anna Cockerell, Rye Benjamin, Sha'Carri Richardson. They all got to wear the uniforms. Anna Cockerell looked like Wonder Woman, like low key, like in her uniform. Did you like the uniforms? Because I don't know, they looked kind of trash. I'm not even gonna cap. I'm not gonna say trash, but they did look kind of questionable on the mannequin. But once they had them on, like, it looked better.
Clean.
Yeah, they look clean. They don't look too bad.
Sha'Carri looked like a superhero.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, Anna Cockerell go crazy in this too. No, I mean, they look cool. I mean, cool. I don't know, bro. I don't really care that much. Like, you know,
For me personally, I want to go back to, like, some more white, to be honest, because, like, we haven't had white since, like, 2000, I want to say. Was 2004, I think, was blue. I think 2004 was blue. So I want to go back to, like, white, like how they had, like, in Athens, because I like that. I would like to see that, just a different change, but I don't really mind it too much, definitely, like, once seeing them on the body. But I think I like the old uniforms better, to be honest. But
Kipchoge looked crazy though. What they had him, whatever the thing with the shoulders that was popping up, like the black on. Anna Cockerell had it on too. That looked dope. I wonder if that's, like, is that something that they're gonna wear on, like, opening day or something, or were they just modeling? Like,
I think they're just modeling that. Cause yeah. We'll see. But moving on, more outrage in the track and field community. This time coming from Flow Track, also coming from Flow Track. This is from Sidious Mag. They were the first ones that I seen reporting this, announcing that Flow Track is signing a multi-year deal to stream the Diamond League starting in 2025. This post from Flow Track says the Diamond League, which is currently televised on NBC's networks and streamed on Peacock for $5.99 a month or $59 a year, will move to Flow Track starting in 2025. And Flow Track is $29.99 a month or $149.99 a year. At the first comment on top here that I see, somebody said, please say April Fools, as the people saying why. And It was bad. A lot of outrage over these comments moving the Flow Track. It's not my first choice of what it would be, just because I love NBC. I love being seen on NBC. You feel me? Being able to have these, some of the meets are on NBC Sports or whatever. I don't broadcast it, but for them to be that's a big stage for track and field. And I like the Peacock function as well. Noah Lyles is documentaries on there. I liked how that system was working for us. So, but it is to all be moved to Flow Track. I don't know if that's the best choice of growing the sport necessarily, just for, it's going to be less eyes. It's going to be more track nerds really watching everything.
I don't even know. I was the one that said we should talk about this, but I don't really even know what to say. It's like,
you try to throw me in the dungeon, bro. That's crazy.
Man, y'all knew what's going on. Y'all know what time it is. It's track and field, baby. What you mean? Y'all know what time it is. Hey, hey, this is what I got to say about this. FloTrack said, hey, hey, y'all mad at us. Why you mad at us? You know, we didn't, they want to work with us. Don't hate, FloTrack said, don't hate the player, hate the game. You know what I mean? Like, hey, it's not my fault your girlfriend want to come with me. I mean, I'm just here. I'm just here.
Nah.
Like, so.
What is that? You said that.
Don't hate the player, hate the game, bro. FloTrack, they just came up. You know what I'm saying? I got to give respect to them. They came up on that. I don't know how.
I wonder what their deal was. Their deal had to be pretty big. I don't know. Or they buy out Diamond League. I don't know how it works.
They bought them out, or like maybe World Athletics or Diamond League or whatever. The cost for the NBC contract, you know, maybe it wasn't working no more. There wasn't a slot. There was going to be a pay increase, something. Was FloTrack cheaper? That's what I want to know. I want to know, like, the behind the scenes of the, like, why, you know, did they just choose that? Because I would think that NBC would be the best, you know, a better broadcasting partner. And I know it's, like, cheaper for us, but I wonder what is, like, those back-end costs for them to work with NBC versus working, like, with FloTrack. Very interesting, willing and dealing, but, like, FloTrack got a win there, but it's just, you know, it's sad. It's just sad to see, like, how hated that they are. Like, I'm not mincing words. Like, they truly are hated by people, bro. Like, and it's, like, a lot of athletes. So, I mean, I'm a person that grew up on FloTrack. I mean, it wasn't as many, like, you know, paywalls back then. But FloTrack, you know, there'd be no two black runners. I can't say that. That's crazy. I don't know.
Whoa.
I don't know.
Wait, what are you about to say, bro? Fish, that sentence.
I'm saying, like, FloTrack put me onto the game.
No, what were you saying? You said there would be no
two black runners. There may not be two black runners without FloTrack. I'm just say that. Like, I'm going to be honest. I grew up watching that.
There may not be no Sidious Mac without FloTrack.
Exactly, bro.
There would be.
Straight up. There's a lot of good. There's a lot of people that, a lot of your heroes.
Dang. This a lot of your facts right now.
A lot of your heroes, y'all know. I mean, I don't want to get too deep, but you know, Bill Cosby did a lot for the black community.
Oh, wait, hold on. You wait. Hold on. Hey, bro, I thought you were gonna say.
But hey, he infamous now. He infamous.
I thought you were just
now.
Gonna say that a lot of your heroes in track media started on FloTrack. Like, I thought that's what you're gonna say.
Man. Oh no, but I'm just saying, you're a lot of heroes in your life. You know, they get down a couple years down the line, you like, dang, they was doing all that, you know? But FloTrack not doing nothing nefarious like that. Okay, so that might be a crazy comparison. I told y'all this is the Shade Room episode, but
what?
Yeah, you can't even compare the two, so I apologize if that's offensive, because that might be kind of wild to just say.
No,
but,
okay, I'll end this off, Aaron. I'll end this off before we move on to the next thing. FloTrack, okay. My message to y'all, bro. Higher ups. This is your time. This is your time. This is what you've been training for since day one. This is what you've been training for. Step up. You got till 2025. Step up.
Oh, like, it's only that's not much time. Yeah, they really got to go hard.
Like, bro, everybody's doubting you right now. Like, step up. Come on. Like, put your best shot to this. Brian Clay happened. People were trying to clown y'all on Twitter. Like, shoot, crazy, trying to clown y'all. It's time. It's time. Like, that's all. Amen. That's all it really is. Like, time to show up. Make it happen. FloTrack. Y'all can do it. Y'all done it before. You know what I mean? Not on this level, but, like, step up. Like, this is the best.
At the same time, bro, they getting paid, bro. They said, don't hate the player, hate the game. You know what I'm saying? We don't care what y'all think. We getting this money.
Yeah, facts. Facts.
So,
facts. Hey, and the pros are getting monies too, especially the Olympic gold medalists moving
Some
on.
Some good news.
World Athletics is awarding money for the Olympic gold. Every single winner from the track and field, in track and field, will get $50,000 across the 48 events, every single person that gets Olympic gold. President Seb Coe came out and said this from World Athletics. I think it is important we start somewhere and make sure some of the revenues generated by our athletes at the Olympic Games are directly returned to those who make the games the global spectacle that it is. Good for the sport, Aaron. Like, this is
great.
This is awesome.
It's a great start, man. It's something that should have been, you know, done the whole time. Like, if since because how our sport is built, World Athletics acts as they're the closest thing that we have right now to being, well, they're the governing body, right? But they're the closest thing that we have to like the league that operates, you know, and the Olympics is where you get the most money from your brand deals and things like that. And it's the pinnacle of our sport. So they should be awarding these athletes. But I'm gonna give you a hot take.
Go ahead.
Isn't it wild that, you know, they just happened to came up with $2.4 million? And this is after reports that Michael Johnson is creating a league. And I think I read something. There's a large investment on it. There's going to be big money, you know? So maybe they got to start paying people, or the Olympics, it might become like NBA players, they go. But, you know, there's some times where they're like, I don't know if I need to be going to that. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Like,
if there is a league that's paying you that much, like, because the thing about the Olympics for track and field, that's where our most eyes are every 4 years. That's the pinnacle. Any sport, that is always the pinnacle to win Olympic gold for any sport, but especially for track and field, gymnastics, wrestling, swimming, all these sports that are still treated with definitely a touch of amateurism. Like, there's a touch of, like, there's pride in, like, oh yeah, we were one of the first sports. We're still kind of treated like amateurs, blue collar. But this right here, like how you were saying, even what Michael Johnson is doing is one closer step to kind of getting out of that bubble of being amateurs and like being professionals 365, you know, and not having to settle for less just because, yeah, it's the honor for a sport. But it's like, nah, I'm the greatest to ever do this. I should be honored correctly for what I'm doing. So that would be interesting. That's an interesting take, Aaron.
I mean, I think I saw, man, what's the homie Fizz done? He be posting. We got to bring him on the podcast at some point, but he got some more intel on it. I'm trying to find this post. I can't find it right now, but I think that, hey, MJ, you putting pressure on these boys. I really think you putting pressure on them. Like, you know, keep applying, you know?
There you go. And before we get out of here, Aaron, some crazy things happened performance-wise these past weekends. Like, we can talk for another 30 minutes, really, about everything that happened running-wise, performances, but we ain't got that much time left. First off, though, I want to go to Milikos Akina from Lithuania. This dude is now the GOAT of the discus. Like, he's only 21 years old. He finished third place at the World Championships last year in the discus in Lithuania. He just threw 74.35 meters. He's the son of the former GOAT of the discus. I don't know how to pronounce his dad's name, Rolgas Akina. He was the third farthest thrower of all time, but his son, Milikos, this dude is beast. 74.35 meters, best discus throw ever. Did this put your eyes more on the discus this year at the Olympics?
I mean, it'll be interesting. I saw the video. I was like, where is this at? Where is this track meet at? You know what I'm saying? But 21 years old, maybe another Mondo, like Ryan Krauser type of field event athlete. So definitely gonna be someone that should be highlighted. I'll be paying attention a little bit more. I can't say I follow discus like super heavy like that, but Mikolas, I hope to see you at a pro meet soon.
He's actually now he about to be at Mount Sac.
Still figuring that out though, but may have to pull up on you, man.
I'm just saying, that's crazy. I'm pretty sure he still goes to Cal. That meet actually was like, I was reading up on it on the City Smack article. It's called Throw Town, like in Oklahoma, and has a super like big wind tunnel, I believe, and that's why they always get like super far throws there. So it was crazy. All right, before we get out of here though, Aaron, I made a running report today, and that came out, and I was asking who out of these three athletes have the best chance to go to NCAA. So we have Colin Salmon, Michaela Rose, and Parker Valby. They all did amazing things this past weekend. Colin Salmon ran a 3:33.96, number two all time in NCAA history. Michaela Rose ran a 1:58.37, second woman ever to go under 1:59 in the 800 meter in NCAA history, only behind a thing Mo. And then Parker Valby, she ran 30:50, first woman in NCAA history to go under 31 minutes in the 10K. She ran 15:30 the first 5K and negative split it for 15:20. She's the 11th fastest American of all time. I'm curious from you, Aaron. Out of these three, who is most likely to make the Olympics? That's going to be hard for all three of them. They may not all make it. They're all going to be competitive. But out of those three, who do you feel like is most likely to make the Olympics?
I'm going to say Michaela.
Really?
I think Michaela Rose is the most likely. It's just... 1:58 early, it's like you have to hold that, right? That's the toughest thing, but you know, I'm just going, and then she ran 4:14 right after. It's gonna, like, when I think about Parker Valby, it's like, man, like, she still gotta run two more 10Ks. She gotta run a 10K at NCAAs, she gotta run in 10K. I mean, if she's gonna run at NCAAs, hopefully
She doesn't have to, she can just do the five.
She doesn't. I hope she doesn't. If that's the one that she wants to go for, because that's just a lot, you know, on your body. Hopefully, maybe this is just preparing her. But then it's like she's gonna go down to the 5K. So then we gotta look at the Wayne Calades. We haven't seen Elise do anything crazy this yet, but you have Elise and
you have Chris Schweizer, Ellie Hennis, Rachel Smith, Natasha Rogers.
Alicia Munson is out. Maybe Parker got a good chance. I don't know. Now I'm like, shoot. Maybe it will be Parker. I don't know. But I'm going to say Michaela. Colin Salmon in that 15. He has a good shot for sure, but like that's one of the toughest teams. Yared, Cole, and who's third right now? Hobbs.
I don't think he can crack that.
That's tough, but Michaela, I mean, I think it's a thing, and then it's up in the air.
Nia Aikens? No?
I think there's a lot of different ways it can go. It could be a thing, Raven, Nia, a thing, Juliet, Michaela, who am I? Ajay, Allie Wilson.
Kay Grace, if she comes back.
Kay Grace, Olivia Baker. Like, there's just
Addie Wiley.
And like Addie Wiley, yeah. Like, and I guess I'm saying that you can just argue against me and be like, yeah, like you're naming like a bunch of people, but I don't know. I feel like she can beat a lot of those people, but I think it's between Parker and Michaela. Now that we've walked through the people racing, I think both of them have a way better shot than Colin, in my opinion. But shoot, I mean, Colin could still 3:33 is fast. He could still run faster too. So it's just like who's going. It's a battle of attrition for them. Because they're going to have to, you know, Michaela's going to have to go to NCAAs and she's going to run three rounds of 800s. And then she's going to go into this. But it's they got practice last year. She's obviously working on her strength, running a 1500 right after that. So, yeah, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be exciting.
That's why I was like, I have to make the video because it really does make everything so much more interesting in those events, especially. I feel like Parker has the easiest because I don't think she's going to have to try too hard at hopefully she doesn't run the 10K NCAAs if she's trying to really make that team. But like, I feel like she doesn't really have to try that hard. She's so much levels above everybody that it's kind of crazy. But before we get out of here, Aaron, I want to tell you one other thing, which I think is the crazy stat. So NAU holds two out of the five distance NCAA records now. Two out of five NCAA records. They can hold three of the five NCAA distance records now. I'm talking about Nico Young and Abdihamid Nur have the 5K and the 10K record. If Colin Salmon breaks Elliot Kipsang's 1500 meter record, NAU will hold the 1500 meter record, the 5000 meter record, and the 10,000 meter record. And it's crazy that we're saying this. And remember, like 2 years ago, I was always saying, like, bro, Mike Smith, you gotta do it on the track. You gotta make this happen on the track. In the past, like, 2 years, bro, he has made it happen on the track, not just for the college, but especially on the pro level too. But it's showing on the pros with these guys. And like, if NAU can get three NCAA records, there's one other team I think that has, the only other team that has three NCAA records is USC with Ry Benjamin, Michael Norman, and then Blaz's Kiss and the Hammer Throw from 1995. If they can get these, like,
those are all recent, though, too, for NAU. They're all recent.
Yeah, that's all from, like, the same, almost. Abdihamid was Abdihamid there his senior year?
With Colin?
No,
he was gone already.
Yeah, but just missed Colin Salmon. That's crazy. Like, that's why Mike Smith, I think, may go down as the greatest NCAA. I think he's already the GOAT, in my opinion, to be honest.
We need to see it on the women's side next, Mike. That's what we need next. Can we just see it? Y'all almost won this year in cross. Go get your title. And we need to see, we need that star. They got it. I mean,
it's Gary Beluga, bro.
She nice. But then once we see it on the women's side too.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I'm pretty sure he cooking it up. But appreciate y'all listening. Sorry for the day late pod, but we got a great podcast for y'all coming next Tuesday and the Tuesday after that. Some great interviews, some great people to talk to, and shoot, we going in strong into this track season. Anything else, Aaron?
Track is back, man. A lot of big things coming up. So just stay tuned. Appreciate all the support. Recently, we've been trying to push out the content. Arcadia went really well. So I'm glad I've heard a lot of comments about just like the content that was put out. A lot of people liked that. So I think you're going to like the next couple of interviews we have coming up, like especially the one we have next week. Like, make sure you tap in. It's going to be a lot of free game, a lot of learnings. I'm excited for y'all to listen to that.
All right, see y'all next week. Let's get it.